This is the Stock Day Podcast, sponsored by InvestorsHangout.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes and YouTube to stay up to date on penny stock news and interviews. Public information on OTC, pink sheets, and microcap stocks from around the world. Here's your host, Everett Jolly.
On today's show, I'm bringing back a returning guest. He was on my show back in May here this year. We're talking about no other than Tetra Biopharma Inc. You can find them on the OTCQB, ticker symbol TBPMF. If you're up there in Toronto, you can find them on the TSX Venture under the ticker symbol TBP. With us today is the chief and scientist and CEO of the company, Dr. Chamberlain. Dr. Chamberlain, welcome back to the show. Greatly appreciate it.
Thank you for having me back, Everett.
You know, yesterday you guys put out a very interesting press release. And you guys said that you have designed a non-clinical safety program to be able to initiate studies in both healthy volunteers and patients. Now, this type of strategy provides Tetra with the most flexibility to rapid initiate clinic trials as an opportunity as opportunities occur. My question to you is that what did you mean by volunteers and patients?
That's actually a great question. Normally, when we're developing drugs, we follow a very classic path. And if a drug is, say, non-toxic, we tend to typically take it first into healthy volunteers, assess the safety, the pharmacokinetics, and then we venture off to patients. When a drug represents some safety risks, we tend to avoid healthy people and go straight to the patient. Now, in the case of COVID, we have to be a responsible company. Yes, strategically, you know, we will do our volunteer study because we want to, test less in the patient and more in volunteers. I don't necessarily want to do my pharmacokinetics in a patient that stays on a ventilator. So we'll move both. But we need the ability from a regulatory point of view to be able to touch the patient as soon as we can to try and help them give options to physicians to try another experimental drug. And for us, we were extremely excited by, you know, the breaking news yesterday that dexamethasone kind of showed some potential to save lives. It kind of validates the mechanism that our drug is based on to save people from the cytokine storm. So this is an exciting time. So we had to have the ability to start a patient trial if COVID, you know, the second wave hits very hard, and we have to be ready. And that's what we announced, and we structured our toxicology studies to have all of the questions answered that a regulator would want.
So I just want to go over this very clearly, and for myself and for my listeners. The flagship product that you guys have is ARS-003. You believe that you guys can help COVID-19 patients. Is that what I'm hearing?
This is correct. I mean, yeah, what people tend to forget is that Panag Pharma, which is the company we acquired more than a year ago, for over 10 years had specifically been developing this ARDS-03 drug for treating the cytokine storm that results in sepsis. And the sepsis is the bacterial or viral, is the same mechanism of action that's behind triggering the cytokine storm. And the ARDS-003 targets the CB2 receptor, which is on the immune cells that basically is the, is like the orchestra conductor. It's there basically to manage this response, defensive response. And we have to squash it. And that's what we can do with our drug. We can actually stop it. And we've shown that in animals. We've shown that we can reduce the cells that call the inflammatory response. And we also reduce the cytokines themselves. So it's a dual response. And that's why we're pretty confident that when we get into patients, we're going to see a very nice response. And our encouragement, like I said, is that seeing a first drug like dexamethasone shows some potential to save lives in the very severely affected patients with COVID-19.
Dr. Chamberlain, I want to switch gears here for a second. The morning of the AGM, you announced that the Reborn trial was prioritized over Serenity. Can you explain the basis for your decision on that?
There were several decisions that we took. One of them, obviously, we were facing the challenge of running a trial called Serenity in the time of COVID. And the challenge we have is, you know, we're putting a cancer patient on this, and we're looking at not just the ability to reduce pain, increase appetite and quality of life, but ultimately see, do we save their lives? Do we offer them what we call a disease-free progression? That involves a lot of hospital visits with scans. As the hospital staff get devoted to treating patients, we become no longer a priority for our trials. So that represents a financial risk for us in running that trial. We look at Reborn, and Reborn, we always loved Reborn because the Reborn trial is really what really I find amazing about the history, I guess you could say, of smoked cannabis. And I have to go back to it because I'm a drug developer and I always try to understand how something works. And we tried as a company since 2016 to understand how smoked cannabis worked. And we think we unlocked the secret and we understand it today. And that became even our next generation comms. But what's really fascinating about why people smoked cannabis is the speed of the onset of the benefit. And that is, it occurs in the patient within 2 to 5 minutes. And that is the key, we believe, into relieving a patient with breakthrough pain. It's onset of relief. And what's interesting is our research has shown that the THC acts on a different part of the brain than, say, the pain receptor. So, yes, you get, say, 100% signal that you're in pain, but then that part of the brain has to send a signal to the part that the THC acts on and tell it, okay, I'm in massive pain, but now the THC is telling that part of the brain, well, no, that's really like just 50% pain. You're not perceiving the pain the same way anymore. And that, to me, becomes a major tool for physicians in the fight against opioids. Because if I can change how a patient perceives the pain, then I become an ultimate tool for physicians in the battle to reduce opioids and fight addiction and even the deaths that occur from respiratory depression because of overdosing. So we decided to prioritize it from that. On a business point of view, financial point of view, the Reborn trial has less patients, so there's a cost saving there. And because it's not until survival, it's a much shorter period in the clinic. So that was also another cost saving. So it's a lower cost trial. Plus, if COVID does hit, it's pain, so we can actually monitor and measure the pain using telemedicine, which during COVID, the FDA came out and gave industry how we can run our trials using telemedicine. So that was the reasons behind it.
Not only that, correct me if I'm wrong, they fast-tracked everything too, correct?
Yes, they're fast-tracking a lot of decisions right now, even our COVID drug. I mean, it's, we submitted our meeting package, which the whole process can take about 6 months from getting a Type B meeting with the FDA to getting the answers. And I can tell you they're reviewing it right now, and we submitted it less than a week ago. So there is a huge time saving right now that we're seeing from regulators. They're doing a great job.
Let me ask you this before I let you go. What happens to your drug for the CRS storm if a vaccine is approved for COVID-19?
Well, unfortunately, a vaccine is never 100% effective. Obviously, everybody hopes that all these industries that are trying to develop a vaccine will develop one that will have the largest response in the population. But there's always going to be a large percentage of people that the vaccine's not going to work. So we're always going to see the respiratory, what they call the acute respiratory distress in patients that's caused by the cytokine storm, just like we do in influenza. When we have a good vaccine, we see maybe a 60 to 70% protection for influenza. But we still see in those patients, some of them will deteriorate and get the ARDS, which is this respiratory distress syndrome. And that's what we're going to continue to see even, you know, with COVID. Even if we have a vaccine that's 80%, which I hope, just for myself and my kids, I hope that's what we can get. But there will always be a certain percent of people that will have this unfortunate transition to a cytokine, you know, storm. Plus, there's other conditions out there that there is an imbalance in the cytokine storm that we will obviously be allowed to go and sell this drug to. So we're just at the start. The only thing it provided us from a purely business and investor point of view, a COVID crisis has given me as a drug developer an opportunity to decrease timelines in bringing a drug to the market, not because I've cut corners science-wise or regulatory-wise, because the regulators are
absolutely
go faster. And that, to me, is a gift. I have to jump on it, and I have to move it. Plus, we can make a difference in the fight against COVID.
Before I let you go, let's talk about valuations real fast. Your stock's been fluctuating between 17 and 18 cents a share, market cap around $46 million. I feel, and this is my personal opinion, your company is grossly undervalued for a biotech up and coming. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I agree with you. We're undervalued. What we've been encouraged in the last month is seeing a very large volume, so there is a lot of trading. A lot of interest. We stepped up and increased our IR activities to educate people on what we're doing, understanding, like we're doing today, understanding, you know, our COVID drug, but also understanding Reborn and the potential in this market. Plus, we also, you know, we haven't talked about it, but our Quick Sleeve is kind of our baby. It's the one that led to our whole knowledge of Reborn drug and that potential. So, I mean, we raised the last money specifically to not forget Quick Sleeve and to move it forward.
My guest today has been Dr. Chamberlain. A company that we're highlighting here today on Stock Day is Tetra Biopharma. My personal opinion, I brought you a lot of great companies over the years. Take a look at this company. You can find them on the OTCQB. Their ticker symbol is TBPMF. If you're up there in Toronto, you can find them on the TSXV under the ticker symbol TBP. Dr. Chamberlain, I want to thank you for coming on the show. I'm a big fan of what you guys are doing out there, and I think you guys are just at the very beginning of something great that's going to happen for you guys here in the next 3 to 4 months.
Thank you very much for having me on the show.
This program is entirely sponsored and produced by La Jolla Media LLC, which is responsible for the content. The opinions and information provided on this program are for educational and research purposes. Stock Day encourages all listeners of this program to do their due diligence and research when determining investment strategies that will work for them or to seek the assistance of an investment professional.